Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow we'll have Brandon Quinn, who covers Michigan basketball. Ryan Snyder, Blue White Illustrated on recruiting. Nikki Javala from the Denver Post. And Matt Leon is going to join us tomorrow from Philadelphia to talk about the state of life of sports in Philadelphia. I believe he put it on an index card, but that's all right. Kevin has his memo. But also our play-by-play call of the day. Tim Saunders on the Flyers Radio Network in overtime.
In behind the net and drags it free. Turned back in behind the goal. Still with the puck. Comes back out in front. Turns with a shot. He scores! What a play by Jake Voracek as he holds off Kuznetsov. Back out in front and wins it in overtime.
Tim's a great guy. We've had him on the show before. And the Flyers won in overtime courtesy of 97.5 FM in Philadelphia. And now we get to the Kevin Herr memo of the day. Suspensions for not playing in the NHL All-Star game for any reason. Ovechkin's hurt. Jonathan Taves is sick. If these are legit and it appears they are, doesn't it make this rule ridiculous? Again, suspended with pay.
I understand that, but I mean, if you're suspended. A real athlete, you don't want to be suspended for any reason, with or without pay. You want to play if you can play. Just seems silly.
Actually, the two of them will be fresher once they come back from this.
Well, they probably will miss it anyway because of the injuries / illnesses, but it seems silly.
Plus, then they get suspended for one game after that. Feed up, no problem. It's an 82-game season. So.
Dumb.
Honestly, I really don't care either way. I mean, in the All-Star games, to me, their time has come and gone. Their time's come and gone. I think that's the biggest part of this.
Well, isn't this one a 3-on-3?
Yeah.
I mean, what's next? Yeah. You're going to go 4-on-4 and no goalie to make it interesting?
I mean, everything's gimmicks now for all these things. Baseball has a gimmick of the winner of the All-Star game gets to host the World Series. So now you got some guy from the San Diego Padres looking to close it out so somebody at the top can host game one. I don't think so. That's a gimmick. Pro Bowl now is a gimmick. NHL All-Star Game's a gimmick. And the last time, in fact, the next time that anybody plays defense in the NBA All-Star Game will be the first time in the history of the NBA All-Star Game that defense was played.
That's for sure.
I'm just saying, but the time for all these have come and gone. The fact that it was special at one point, everybody sees everybody now. It used to be that when you played when the baseball All-Star game came up, we talked about this. When the baseball All-Star game came up, it was like, oh, wow. You get to see Willie Mays. Hadn't seen Willie Mays all year, except maybe on one Saturday game of the week. Got a chance to see Hank Aaron. Got to see Pete Rose. Got a chance to see Mickey Mantle. It was something special about seeing guys who, because you didn't see him, had a slice of mythology, and you couldn't wait to see them. Okay, I want to watch the NHL All-Star game. Well, I mean, for anybody who loved hockey, suddenly out of nowhere, you're watching Bobby Orr and John Béliveau And you really never got much of a chance to see on a regular basis Jean Beliveau or Bobby Orr or Jean Rattel or anybody like that. You just didn't. So that made it a big deal. NBA All-Star Game, same thing. You saw a little bit of Russell and Chamberlain from time to time, but what about the other guys? A lot of good talent in the league. You had a chance to see it. The same thing in the Pro Bowl. As the NFL went on more and more, the Pro Bowl fell back in interest. It's still football. It's still going to be it'll probably, I don't think there's any doubt, it'll win the cable week because it's on ESPN. It'll win the cable week because it's football. But the time for All-Star games has come and gone. Now, there's nothing they can do to anybody to make it, to make you play as hard as you want to play, or, you know, there's nothing you can do for it. And it's just the way it is. And I think the only debate is to whether to keep them, not about whether it's suspensions around the All-Star game or whatever. The entire exercise has become, except for the city that hosts it, irrelevant.
I'd like to hear what Jack has to say about when he played in Pro Bowls, whether it was really worth it.
It's a vacation
or whether he wanted to play.
I've talked to him. It was a vacation in Hawaii. They went.
I mean, he went to eight of them.
They went. Yeah, and he went. You know, he and Joanne would go, and because it was in Hawaii, they loved it.
What about now, though? Because isn't it
the game this
it's
week
now
is
in
Hawaii.
The, yeah, what's that?
The game is in Hawaii.
Oh, they moved it back to Hawaii. I couldn't see. This is how much interest I have in the Pro Bowl. I didn't even remember. I know at one point they had it in the same city as the Super Bowl.
They only did that once.
Yeah, well, see, that was, and I didn't even care then.
Do you follow the games?
Obviously not this one.
No, I'm just joking.
Listen, I honestly can't tell you the last time. I at one point thought that there was a rule in the Pro Bowl that you, if you were behind by X amount of points, you would actually have the other team kick off to you if you scored. That's how little.
They may have been 1 year they did that.
That's the last time I remember the Pro Bowl.
But they're all just, it's all gimmicky now, and it doesn't matter. The biggest thing in the Pro Bowl for the players, I mean, the two biggest things for them, actually three. My apologies, three. A, it's in Hawaii, so it's a free Hawaiian vacation that is paid. That's one. Number two, okay, don't get hurt. Number three, okay, each team gets another check.
That's true.
All right, so that's, and the winning team gets more than the losing team does. Okay.
Now, from
that meant more 30 years ago because the players weren't making as much money.
Oh, I don't doubt that. Now, I know this, you will not care about this whatsoever, but you have to look at this the way I do. I might watch the Pro Bowl if the broadcast was done in a way that they had
Spanish?
No, I don't even think that would help. No, if they had, like, the quarterback mic'd up really well. I know they've tried it a couple of times and it didn't really work, but I'd love to be, you know, have a camera in the huddle. They can do that now. Have him mic'd up, and you bring the mic up, and then you can hear the play, and then you hear him at the line of scrimmage. That might actually be interesting to me.
Kevin, all right, first of all, there isn't a single person out there that knows what they mean when they call the play.
I don't care. That's not the point. The point is it brings me to a different part of the game that I don't get a chance to see. If you're trying to make the Pro Bowl interesting to me, make it interesting to me in the way you bring it to me. Don't change the way it's played. Like, for instance, the NHL All-Star game being a 3-on-3 because that's really popular now with breaking ties. Don't change the way the game's played. Change the way how you bring it across to me so I see or hear something that I don't normally see or hear during a regular season game.
Or bag it.
Well, that's not going to happen because ESPN has too much money wrapped up in it. And the NFL itself is wrapping up money into it. It's called tourist attraction.
I'd bag it. If I were running the league, I'd bag the All-Star game right away. So we're not doing this anymore.
There's a Tony Knopp question. That's a really good Tony Knopp question.
It doesn't... for some reason, you seem to feel like it's some sort of jackpot bonanza that, that everybody's raking in cash, and it's not.
It's the NFL. It doesn't matter what game is.
Okay, they already have the money from TV for it, $1.9 billion. That was for the Monday night package. Like, the Pro Bowl was an add-on. And ESPN doesn't do the Pro Bowl every year. It rotates.
I'm just saying, if you want to make it interesting, you want to make me watch it, give me something that I don't normally see in the regular season.
Look, your picture's not sitting in the office. They don't sit there and say, what can we do to get this guy?
Yeah, but I'm the average, everyday football fan that barely knows more about any other team than his own. That's who you're trying to target here.
You seem to hate the quarterback of the Browns. That's not your team.
Not just the quarterback. By the way, the backup quarterback. Let's get it straight. It's the backup.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And it's not hate. It's just, it's not hate for the Browns. Ravens, yes. Browns, not hate. Bengals, absolutely. Despise. That's even beyond hate.
Nothing like having a neutral-based talk show that allows people to get perspective.
My apologies to the Bengal fan in the area, and I do know one.
Okay.
I do have an acquaintance who is a Bengal fan.
Is there a crunch time of recruiting? Is it now, or coaches just following up leading up to signing day? No, this is crunch time.
So they're actually going all over the country right now.
Oh, sure they are. They're all over the place.
I mean,
Penn State coaches have been in Florida, Ohio, Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Pennsylvania today. They've been all over the place. And they've got, I think, between 8 and 10 guys coming in this weekend. They still have scholarships to give out. And only one player that they have in this weekend has already verbally committed. Okay, so this is closing time now. There are guys that have changed their mind. There are guys that have left the recruitment open. There are a couple guys that aren't going to announce what they're doing until signing day on Wednesday. We're going to have Ryan Snyder trying to promote tomorrow's show.
Please feel free. Okay.
I mean, since it's, you know, we're trying to get people like every day.
What a concept.
Is that okay with you? Yeah, I mean, every day, trying to get people in.
Awesome. when you're done, I have a question then.
Yes, but we're going to have Ryan Snyder from Blue White Illustrated on tomorrow to recap where they are heading into this weekend.
If you are one of the highly recruited players, from what you know and your experience, how many coaches are you meeting with, talking with, whatever, in the next week?
I don't know.
No, I'm just curious. I mean, if you're one of the high recruited players, are you like setting up appointments daily? Hourly?
I don't know. I've never been through the process. I don't know.
And don't you have school? I mean, don't you have to pass some classes too? This is crunch time and everybody's everywhere. Wow, that's busy.
Yeah, but but the coaches don't have school. They're going to your school.
No, I'm talking about the individual player. If you're a highly recruited player and everybody's all over the country right now, I would imagine you're getting more than one call a day.
You're getting calls all over the place from people, okay? But, you know, it's up to you as to when you respond and when you accept and when you don't, because you got to go to class and things like that. I mean, that's just part of it. But, I mean, you're not, that's why the visits take place during the weekend. They don't take place during the school day. You don't have recruits visiting on Wednesday. They have school. And there was one kid that Penn State was recruiting. He couldn't make it because of the snowstorm last weekend because they're in Ohio and his father had to work until 5 o'clock. Okay, well, it's the reason why he couldn't make it.
See, that's an intriguing story to me.
The parents have to work. I mean, the kids have to go to school. and you're allowed to do all of this on your time. And you set the timetable as to when you do something, as to what fits your schedule. People are making overtures to you. So you dictate, you know, when you visit, when you don't, who you visit, who you don't, who you want in your home, who you don't want in your home. And you have to take control of the process very early. The process can easily spin out of control, which is unfortunate because I think that's a big problem today. Big problem today is that there are parts of the process that are spinning out of control. The question is, how do you regain control of it? And I don't have the answer to that. That one I don't have the answer to. Is an early signing period for football the answer? Well, you know what? On the surface, it seems like it would have a good chance of being the answer. But it's not the be-all, end-all in college basketball either. So we don't know.
Is this letter of intent deadline day or, you know, highlighted day, is this a good idea?
Well, you have to, at some point, you have to have a deadline where you sign and you officially commit, which is a contract between you and the school.
That's the done deal now, there.
Yeah, that's the done deal. These are all verbal commitments. That's why you see players committing, decommitting, then committing again. And, you know, you can verbal all you want. Same time, the school can withdraw their offer to you, which apparently has been a problem at Michigan, which is drawing some national attention. The fact that they've been essentially looking at guys and cutting them before they sign and then going in a different direction. Okay, that's their prerogative as a school, just like it's the prerogative of the player to say yes, then say no, and then say yes someplace else. But National Letter of Intent Day is the first day you can sign. Almost everybody signs on Letter of Intent Day. Every once in a while, you have somebody that waits a couple days and they sign.
No, you have till April 1st, assuming they don't run out of scholarships before then.
Right, so you got till then to do it. Just like I think early signing period's a week in November for basketball. It's a week. Late signing period goes from...
Yeah, it's November. April. It was November 11th to the 18th. You're right, Stephen.
Yeah. And it's like April, I want to say.
April 13th.
Okay.
I have it in front of me. That's why I'm sure.
I want to say till like May 18th. Or
May 18th
like that.
For Division One, August 1st for Division Two.
Right. So
here's the other.
So that first day is when they get most of them, but there actually is a window to do it.
But here's the other problem I have with, especially football's National Letter of Intent Day. It has become more of a media event than I think it really should be. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great that fans have interest in who's coming to your favorite school. I get that. I understand that. Right. But to have live shots from every school, it's covered more than the NFL draft.
Well, okay. James Franklin has turned it into a celebration day here at Penn State. And the reason he's turning it into a celebration day is that you are making a commitment that will be part of some of the more important 4 or 5 years of your life coming up. It's very important which school you pick. Very important as to the school you pick for football or basketball reasons, for academic reasons, how it sets you up in life, how it sets you up in a network of alumni. There's a lot of things that it sets you up in once you sign that letter of intent, and hopefully things come to fruition and your dreams come true. Part of the media fascination with it, and I'm going beyond websites, I mean, for Blue White Illustrated, for Fight on State, for 24/7 Sports, while it's not the be-all, end-all of what they do, it's an important part of their coverage. And they have done a brilliant job, each of them, of finding a niche that draws people to their sites and draws people to their articles. And they're very good at what they do. They're very respectful of recruits. They're very respectful of families, respectful of programs. And I think all of them do a very good job of covering in a classy way where they're not obnoxious about it. Now, there are some other recruiting services that are obnoxious about it, but that's their way of doing things. When you look at the national part of it, take ESPN, you have a 24/7 sports network that is constantly looking for whatever programming they can find that's going to draw eyeballs to the set. They have found out over the last 10 years that football is so exponentially popular in this country that people will watch what they do on signing day because it's just an offshoot of all the people that are watching college football. It's an offshoot of people who love football. It's an offshoot of people who love pro football all the way through. Just like all the stuff you see in the NFL draft. I mean, the NFL draft's a big deal. It's 3 days now. 3 days.
And coverage for all 3 days on two networks a lot of times.
Exactly, but that's because it's of the popularity of it. They are not drawing 0.2 ratings on these things. They're drawing really good ratings on these things because people are interested. So they are filling the void of people who are interested. So you can talk about what the media does with it and so forth, but let's face it, there is a depth of interest in it. Now, the out for me over the years has always been very easy because for me, I don't look at anybody's highlight tape or anything like that. As I pointed out yesterday, what am I going to see on there? I'm not going to see a single turnover.
You'll see the best plays of that player from his career.
Right. I'll get a chance to see them in practice up close and personal, and then I can make some decisions in my own mind. It's like, yeah, he can play. He might get a chance to play. Boy, it's going to be a struggle for him. Okay? And I see that. I can usually, in the first week to 10 days, you can kind of pick up on some of that. Now, does it mean over the time you're not surprised by somebody? Of course, over time you get surprised by somebody. And you're thrilled to see when it's a positive surprise. But there's no fast and easy formula with this. And I think that when you look at the recruiting part of it, there's just a depth of interest in it. That's why you see Rivals, Scout, 24/7. All of them do very well right now because it's important. And you see ESPN jumping on board, doing as much as they can around Letter of Intent Day because people are genuinely interested. And we all know that recruiting is the lifeblood of any program. Bottom of the hour, news coming up. Tomorrow, Ryan Snyder on this topic. He'll get specific with us on what's happening with Penn State this weekend. Ryan works with Rivals and Blue White Illustrated. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When the snow goes in to your neighborhood, who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
Winter has finally arrived.
Were you ready?
If not, no problem. Sunbury Motors has snowbusting vehicles to help you through the next big storm. Sunbury Motors Ford has over 50 2016 Ford Escapes in stock. Save $3,750 now. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 60 months. Check out the vehicle that redefines the compact SUV with its new design. The all-wheel drive Hyundai Tucson at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. The all-new 2016 Hyundai Tucson all-wheel drive starts at just $24,820. Sunbury Motors Kia has 49 snowbusting Kia Sorentos and Sportages, all clearly sale priced and all with 0% financing available for up to 66 months. Sunbury Motors Ford, Hyundai, and Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. See their entire snowbusting inventory at sunburymotors.com, a tradition of trust for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin driving another great vehicle this week because it's dry out.
That's right. But if it was snowing out, there would be no trouble getting around in a 2016 Ford Escape, especially the all-wheel drive.
Once again, I'd like to point out, their concerns are not at all about the performance of the vehicle. It's something that they told me, something about operator error.
Performance of the driver? Are they more concerned about that?
Operator error.
Oh, there hasn't been operator error in several trips. The 2016 Ford Escape has 1750 knocked right off the sticker. That's just walk in and they're going to take 1750 right off the sticker. Now there's a factory rebate available of 1250 or you could say, listen, I don't want to do the factory rebate because I have a trade of 1995 vehicle or newer. So give me the extra $2,000 in trade assistance, and I'll take the 0% financing for up to 60 months. By the way, that's free money in case you didn't realize that. And 1.9% for 72 months. And if you're not interested in a compact SUV and you want a sedan, how about the 16 Fusion? That's the same type of vehicle they're going to run at Daytona, at least some of the cars. Now, it's not exactly the same vehicle and engine and everything, but it's the same model. So if you're a NASCAR fan, maybe that's the way to go. And 0% financing and 1.9% for 72 months available on the Fusion as well. Find out more details at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury. And you could be safe in an all-wheel drive Ford Escape or comfortable in a 16 Fusion.
Very nice. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. And, yes, Jack Ham did make the Super Bowl 50th anniversary team. I will not get into the text message exchange that we had, which was comical. I will not get into the first part of the phone call, which is comical. We talked about a couple serious things after that, but we won't get into that. Because I left him a message on his cell, and it was like, I'm not going to get into that. All right. Tomorrow, Ryan Snyder on recruiting. Topic Kevin just brought up in great depth and detail. Brendan Quinn will be joining us from Michigan. Talk about Michigan basketball. Very interesting about Michigan basketball, by the way. And that is, they're the only team I've run across so far this year where 43% of their points come from threes, 42% come from twos, then the other 15% from the foul line. Last night was a perfect example. They beat Rutgers. They had 20 baskets in the game. 11 were threes, 9 were twos. So we'll talk about that. Matt Leon tomorrow about Philadelphia sports. Nikki Javala from the Denver Post talking about the Colorado Avalanche. No, about the Denver Broncos. So that's what we have. You're writing this down, I could tell.
Colorado Avalanche.
Jeez. Okay. There you go.
Is that with one A or two?
Parnell's might be the winner tomorrow night for dinner in New York. So I tell Kevin this, and you know what his first response to me was?
Par who?
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. No, it wasn't it. He said to me, quote, I think the McDonald's in Times Square is too expensive.
I find the McDonald's in Times Square pricey.
Yeah. Two floors worth of it. That's a double-decker McDonald's.
That's it. It's a Big Mac all by itself.
So that's what we have coming up. Joe Person from the Charlotte Observer. It looks like we're going to get him early next week. I think Monday might be the best day for him because they have so much going on with Super Bowl Media Day and so forth. So that's what they have going on. And we're going to get him on the show. That way we balance things out. Nikki actually might do another segment with us next week from California. Let's see. Couple of things. The leagues, by the way, are striking deals with gambling-related firms. Have you seen this?
I don't think so. Gambling-related firms, you're talking about like DraftKings?
Mm-hmm. Beyond
that's not gambling. That's games of skill.
To Attorney Generals.
That's a game of skill.
Well, I see now you play, and it's not.
There's no skill there. I can guarantee you that.
To varying degrees, leagues are partnering, opening openly and in secret with odds makers, betting prognosticators, data providers. How about that? The NFL in April became a part owner of a newly formed Sports Radar US, the subsidiary of a Swiss company that provides real-time stats, scores, and odds to bookmakers, including, according to gambling industry sources, multiple offshore sports books that offer illegal betting in the U.S. Last July, the NBA, through its ownership stake in FanDuel, became a part owner of NumberFire, a New York tech company that offers sophisticated analysis for sports daily and sports wagering, including betting recommendations on the league's own games. Shortly after the World Series in November, Major League Baseball signed a deal with a London-based company, Sport Integrity Monitor, to monitor betting lines and identify suspicious betting activity that might indicate fixed games. Sports IM's parent company set odds and provide software for legal bookmakers in Europe and in Asia. Outside the Lines is doing an extensive piece on this. Each one gives them a foothold and it could generate a combined $25 billion in revenue for the four major sports. Now, what have I said the entire time about sports gambling in the U.S.? The leagues, of course, object to it, but what have I said about that over and over and over again?
Well, they're not going to object to it if they have a stake in it.
They're going to object to it until they can figure out a way to profit from it. So you're talking about $25 billion. Now remember, several owners already own stakes in, for example, FanDuel and DraftKings. DraftKings is a Boston-based company. And Robert Kraft and his family, and I believe, according to the Boston Globe, on four different occasions, have bought a stake in DraftKings. All right? Others have invested in FanDuel. Major League Baseball has invested in Sports IM and Bet Genius, and also involved, it looks like, in the Europe Asia Legal Sports Book. The NBA has invested in Perform, which then leads to the Europe Asia Legal Sports Book. The NFL, we just mentioned. Now remember, the NFL Players Association has an interest in DraftKings. They also have an interest in FanDuel. 28 teams in the NFL are involved in FanDuel. The NHL has an interest in DraftKings. The NFL has an interest in something called Don Best, which then leads to Sports Radar US, which then leads to CG Analytics, which then leads to CG Technology, a sportsbook operator. It's quite a tree that you see with the four major sports. I was just in Las Vegas. And, of course, they have sportsbook. Any hotel you go into has sportsbook. To sum, the scope of the NBA's investment in FanDuel has stunned a lot of people. And, of course, what makes it even more stunning is, remember, this is the league that produced Tim Donaghy. I mean, it's very interesting what they're doing right now. I'll never forget sitting there with Dick and Jeff Tarman and Karen Girardi. We were sitting at in New Orleans, and we were eating lunch. And lunch was adjacent to where Sportsbook was, so we weren't paying attention to what was going on, games or Sportsbook or anything like that. Suddenly, out of nowhere, everybody in Sportsbook went insane. I'm talking like a huge yell came up. And we looked up at the screens, and the Giants had scored to tie Carolina. Later on, Carolina drove and kicked a field goal to win the game. There was not a sound when Carolina won the game. Why was there a burst when the Giants tied the game? Because at that point, two things happened. The Giants beat the spread, and they beat the over-under. It did not matter that Carolina kicked a field goal and won the game. It didn't matter that they did. It mattered to Carolina. It mattered to their fan base. But it didn't matter to those in Sportsbook who were sitting next to us at the time that this happened. It didn't matter to them. The most important thing was that they won because the Giants beat the spread with their touchdown and they beat the over-under with the touchdown because they got the 70 points. That's what it meant. Now, for me, for someone who has never bet a dime in his life, I obviously understand it. I understood it when it happened. But it also doesn't mean, as somebody who loves sports for the love of sports, that it lit me up too much. Like, to me, the winning and losing part's the most important part. But that's me. But if that's how people get interested in it, I find that to be very interesting. Everybody has their own reason as to why they get interested in something. And for some, it's having a financial stake in it. I don't know if you've ever gambled on a game or not.
Yeah. Prior to, it's been a while, but yeah, I have, but not
did it, one game in particular. Yeah. Did it? What did it do for your interest in the game?
Oh, listen, I could care less who won Minnesota Oakland, for example, but that day I cared.
Okay, I understand. No, I'm just asking.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, you know, it was kind of a pick 'em thing. And I didn't really care about those games any other way. But that particular week, I cared.
Would FanDuel and DraftKings, which are glorified expensive fantasy, mean something to you? Because I know you watch Red Zone, for example, because you're trying to keep up on Darren McFadden if he's on your
team. Right. Yeah, I have not tried those yet. I have been enticed many times to do it, but I have not tried them.
Okay. No, I'm just asking.
No, and again, this isn't a judgment this is not a judgment on anybody that has or hasn't tried it. I mean, it's legal in the state of Pennsylvania. I haven't. The thought has crossed my mind.
Right. No, I'm not making it.
No, I know you're not.
Absolutely. I've made no judgment at all. I'm asking just for information. As we go, as to what it means. All right, we'll wrap things up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When the snow goes in to your neighborhood, who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
Winter has finally arrived.
Were you ready?
If not, no problem. Sunbury Motors has snowbusting vehicles to help you through the next big storm. Sunbury Motors Ford has over 50 2016 Ford Escapes in stock. Save $3,750 now. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 60 months. Check out the vehicle that redefines the compact SUV with its new design. The all-wheel drive Hyundai Tucson at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. The all-new 2016 Hyundai Tucson
on all-wheel drive starts at just $24,820.
Sunbury Motors Kia has 49 snow-busting Kia Sorentos and Sportages, all clearly sale-priced and all with 0% financing available for up to 66 months. Sunbury Motors Ford, Hyundai, and Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. See their entire snow-busting inventory at sunburymotors.com. A tradition of trust for over 100 years.
So two Penn Staters make the Super Bowl all-time list. Jack Hamm, obviously, and Franco Harris. Kevin mad and upset that Terry Bradshaw and Jerome Bettis and Troy Polamalu left off the list after slights.
Nope, shouldn't have been there.
Well, you could argue for Bradshaw, obviously.
Yeah, but I think that... I think that Montana was the better choice. Now, the one I said that I think I would have argued maybe would have been Stallworth, but he had a better playoff run, not necessarily Super Bowl. Better playoff stats.
This is the all-time. This is the all-time Super Bowl team.
Right.
This is Super Bowls. That's why the only one I questioned on there was Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor really was good, but not great in the two Super Bowls. Carl Banks had a great one. Harry Carson played really well in both. If you're just looking at a Giants linebacker, Lambert was great in all of them. Jack was great in the three that he played, and Jack did not play in Super Bowl 14. He got a ring for it, but he had hurt his ankle and couldn't play in the game. So he did not play in it. But, yeah. Tonight on the talk show tonight, Sandy Barber will be on the show. Patrick Chambers and Randy Jepsen all on the show this evening. And then tomorrow, Ryan Snyder on recruiting. Also, Brendan Quinn. Talk about Michigan basketball, Nikki Javala, Denver Post, Matt Leon on Philly Sports, all coming up tomorrow. Okay,
Steve, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Joe Person, Charlotte Observer next week. Also next week, Terry Smith, Josh Gattis expected to join us when it comes to time to talk about recruiting.
And Henry Hynoski is confirmed for Tuesday.
Talk about Super Bowl media day and the hype surrounding it. Where everybody, there's no player that goes through it that is not talked to. They all are.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
I was there when that happened.
Hey, I remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Sabermetrics and the Phillies being low on the list of using Sabermetrics.
There were 122 out of 122 professional teams.
I believe that is going to change now under the new system. Andy Galdi is now the baseball research and development director for the Phillies. Now, that name shouldn't necessarily mean anything to anybody, but he's going to oversee baseball analytics, including data visualization, reporting, statistical research, and data infrastructure. Although he did do some interning in sports in college and has some experience in the sports world, but for the past 3 years, worked for Google as a quantitative analyst for YouTube.
Right. Well, again, you can hire somebody like that, Kevin, and I think it's an excellent supplement to have. I know when I broadcast games, I will look at analytics, but I'll also look at tape and everything because I want to see how the analytics and the tape match up.
I don't think this is going to be one thing that they're just going to focus on this side of it and that's all. But I think this is a big thing they've been missing for years, and that's changing now.
Yeah, agreed. And I think it's just smart because I think if you don't have all the information, then these help you make decisions, but they should not be the be-all, end-all of decisions. That's where the Sixers have had a problem.